Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 273, stanzas 2, 3, and 5. The time for Zion's help is near, the time appointed in thy love. O, let thy gracious aid appear. Look thou in mercy from above. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 273.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke and thereof chapter 24. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13 to 35. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what a day that we may commemorate in this day. We read in thy holy word, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so it was in the midst of thy church in that day, and thy mourning people, for whom everything had come to an end in their life, with whom everything had ended in death and in the grave, that thou didst wake them in that morning to receive that blessed news. That it was indeed true in their life. O Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of us. O that we and our children may experience something of the power of thy resurrection. That the fruit of that resurrection also may be experienced in the midst of us. For we acknowledge that we lie by nature in the midst of death. And that we must be born again as thou didst say it unto the people. O Lord, that thou may give unto us that life from the dead, that shall begin and that shall never end, that shall be born and that shall never die, with which we may go through this world and out of this world and into a never-ending eternity. O Lord, that thou wouldst wake us then from our death sleep, we and our children, that the profit of thy death and the evidence that was gained in the resurrection of the dead, that it may be the experience of young and old together. But thou knowest also in the midst of thy church, how that thou dost lead them because it is all thy own work as we have just heard it together. And when thou art hid from thy people, then there is no way that they are able to cast their eyes upon thee. Then thou art such a hidden person so often unto thy church. And thou indeed dost lead and feed them. But then they do desire that thou wouldst also reveal thyself unto them, that thou wouldst give them light and opening and freedom in thy holy word of truth. Oh, could it please thee to grant it in the midst of us, that a man may be given to see that there is nothing within the work that he is able to do. That it is all ending in death. Oh, that thou wouldst reveal thyself in the life of those who do not know that way anymore. And that thou may give them to see that thou art the way, the truth, and the life. But wilt thou also lead thy people further in the steps of grace by thy Holy Spirit. Because everything in the life of that people that must be brought unto a full end. O Lord, then it is a perplexing way. Then it is a way wherein they themselves have to die. O Lord, that thou may instruct in that way. That they may be given to know thee as their mediator and as their savior. Oh, that thou may give the assurance in the life of thy people, that their feet may be set upon a solid rock, and that they may be given to know and to be able to say, He is mine and I am his. Oh, Lord, that thou may feed thy church, and wilt thou lead them into those blessed comforts, because thou knowest that from their sight, that there is no comfort. Everything that is worthy of death, and everything that is worthy of judgment and punishment, and then even after received grace, And thy servant did have to say, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. And then they need to be delivered from the guilt of sin. And they need to be delivered from the pollution of sin. Oh, that thou wouldst magnify thyself in the life of thy people. That thou wouldst appear unto them. That their hearts may be made glad. And that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory. And do look upon our children and our young people. Oh, give them a blessed interest in these matters in the days of their youth, because the evil days they come. Oh, the grasshopper becomes a burden in our old age. Then we are afraid of that which is high. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the burdens and the cares of those that have become old, that thou may remember them in all of their trials. And could it please thee to make yet the last days the best days? Oh, thou art able to do it. For thou art able to make them to leap even as when they were young. Oh, then their hearts may be made even when they are old. Yet to rejoice in thy salvation. Oh, that thou may do it, Lord. Break the hard and stony hearts. And wilt thou bend the stiff knees? Oh, that thou may give unto fathers and mothers. Oh, when we do go through this world, and then there is so much busyness in this world, and there are so many cares of this world. But when thou wilt give, that life may be planted, or when thou wilt give, that life may be revived, oh, then all the things that are in this world, they fall away. And then that one thing needful truly becomes the choice of the heart. Oh, then we are not busy with a Martha, so much as to sit at thy feet with Mary. Oh, that thou may give, that all together in all the busyness of this life, that the things of thee may have the uppermost place in our hearts all together. Oh, that we may seek thee. And with all our heart, might, and strength, that we may see and feel something in this day of the blessedness of thy people, of the gladness of thy nation, and that we may have such a holy jealousy to be a part of this. Oh, to know thee to be our God also. Oh, Lord, to be counted among that number that shall be received into that eternal glory. And then thou knowest also the deceitfulness of our hearts. Oh, then thou dost say in thy word, there is also a temporary faith. Oh, there is that which deceives itself. There is that which includes itself that has not been included by thee. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst set us then on the outside, where that we truly are. That we may come also by thee thyself to be set on the inside. Oh, that thou may make us honest before thee and give us a true and an upright heart. Wilt thou care for all those in this world that are deceived because we have fallen in our father Adam. But thou hast also chosen a people from all eternity. Oh, that thou may give, that they may be brought in by the power of thy most Holy Spirit, that there may be those who are called to go forth to bring thy everlasting word, and that many may be called, that those few that are chosen may be brought in. Give an increase in the number of thy truly sent servants. Lord, instruct them also more and more in the things of thee, that we may be given to be busy in those things which are necessary to know. Oh, do instruct us, that we also may instruct others. Wilt thou care for all those that are persecuted for the sake of thy great and holy name? and remember those who did suffer in this day already for the persecutions of this world. Lord, thou knowest where that they are. And many have in one moment exchanged time for eternity. O Lord, wilt thou give us understanding hearts? What maketh us to differ? We come unto thy house of prayer. We expect to go out once again, but there to lose our life in such a way. O Lord, remember those that are left behind, that thou may comfort those that mourn, and that thou may help yet those that are hurt, and that thou may give, that thy word may truly come into the hearts of the enemies of thy church. O thou art able, Lord, to bring them down with an arrow of thy Holy Spirit, to bring them to bow before thee in the dust of self-abasement, even as a Saul of Tarsus. O thou art able to make them as a Manasseh, and to bring them into prison, and to know that the Lord is God. O Lord, that thou may convert them, because they also have a soul. And thou didst pray upon that cursed tree, that also for the enemies. O Lord, that thou may remember all those that do suffer in such a way, and give us also an appreciation and an acknowledgement of thee, for the time and for the prosperity wherewith that thou dost bless us. Oh, that we may not squander it, that we may not waste it, that we may acknowledge thee for it, and that we may bow our knees, that thou may give to us that true conversion. Wilt thou care for all those that are sick, those that do suffer from serious diseases? O thou knowest the despair that can be in their hearts. O Lord, that thou may help them, that thou may give them a cry to thee, and that thou wouldst hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and that thou may remember all that care for them. Be with those that recover from operations. Be with children also that are in our midst. Those that have difficulties and troubles, and have also received help from doctors, Lord, that thou may supply in the days of their youth. Look upon us, remember us in this afternoon. O Lord, come thou amongst us. We have just read together of two men, and thou didst come. O, their heart burdened within them, Lord. Oh, could it please thee, that we may also feel it. Oh, that thou art in our midst, and that our hearts too may be given to burn within us for a moment, when thou dost talk with us by the way, and when thou wilt open unto us thy holy scriptures. Oh, then we will feel something. Oh, then we will know something. Oh, then we shall be so blessed. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Do it for the sake of thy great and thy great glory, and that there may be many that are converted unto thee, and that will glorify thee to all eternity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 320 all the stanzas. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 320 stanzas 1 through 5. And the last collection today is for the disaster fund. beloved congregation, religion is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. There were probably no days in the disciples' lives that was more true than the days of Good Friday and Easter. What greater power does a man know than the power of the grave? When we consider what has happened in this very morning, in the death and in the destruction, and then there are so many that are this day cast into mourning. They must also go to the grave. There they must lay within the earth those whom they love. There is no power that they feel and know that is greater than that power. Who is able to deliver himself from death? And so the disciples, they have experienced it also when Christ was taken away from them. But we read that the psalmist, he says that the Lord, he will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. And then who can imagine what that was for that son of that widow of Nain, when he did rise again from the dead. Then there was a power that was felt that was greater than the power of death. And so that was experienced also in the life of the disciples in the day of the resurrection of Christ. And so that also that may be experienced in the lives of God's true church by the power of His Holy Spirit. We wish with the Lord's help to consider something of this with you out of the words of our text for this afternoon, which you can find in the aforeread portion from Luke 24, verse 19, only this part. What things? So far, the words of our text. What things? A drawing question. First, the question. Second, the answer. And third, the reply. What things? A drawing question. First, the question. Second, the answer. And third, the reply. What things? Who says this? It is a stranger. He has approached these two men, and he walks along with these two men. Who are those two men? One of them is Cleophas. It is thought to be the brother of Joseph, that is, the supposed father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we would say, boys and girls, this Cleophas, that would have been in a natural way the uncle of the Lord Jesus. The other man is a man that we do not know. It doesn't say it in the Word of God. We read that these two disciples of the Lord, they are going unto the city of Emmaus. It is 7 or 8 miles away from that city of Jerusalem. And we see them walking there. We see them, we read in God's word, they are sad and they are conversing with one another. The word that means they are going back and forth with one another, speaking to one another. They are engrossed together in a conversation. And suddenly they are joined by this man. He begins to walk along with them, we read. They do not recognize this man at all. It is not pleasing to them that this man, he has joined them. That is understandable. Why? Because they are persons that are in difficulty. They are persons that are in trouble. And they do not have any desire that in this moment that they may have conversation with a stranger. They have here their own afflictions. Communion, that is a very blessed thing. It is a blessed thing when we may have communion in days of prosperity. It is a blessed thing when we may have communion in days of adversity. May you have such a friend in your life, children, young people. Then we do not have to have many, many friends. It is a great wonder, it is a great blessing if you may have even one friend, if you may have, especially we call that a soul friend. Someone with whom that you may share your troubles. And these friends, these disciples, they are walking along here, speaking to one another in such a way. And now a stranger that can very easily break that communion that persons have, because then they will come there perhaps with their worldly talk, with other subjects that we have no desire to speak about. What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? No, that stranger, he has no desire apparently to distract them from their conversation. It is just the opposite. What does he do? He attempts to enter into that conversation. He attempts to speak about the things that they are speaking about. He is asking them, what are now those things that are troubling you? Perhaps that was just as annoying unto these two men as a distraction. Why? Well, will this man now be able to enter into their troubles? They are not the troubles that persons have in the midst of this world. No, they are troubles that are in their heart. They are troubles that they have within their soul. How are they now going to explain all these things unto this stranger? Are they now to begin all the way from the beginning with this man? Cleopas gives him an answer. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Thus he doesn't answer his question. No, we can hear a little bit of that annoyance that is within his heart. He does not explain as was asked of him, but actually he gives to him just a very, very mild rebuke. Congregation, we wish to stop here for a moment. Do you understand this Cleopas? Are there those who have questions within your heart? Do you have troubles in your heart? Concerns which you are not able to share with such a stranger? Or we will go further. Do you have secret meditations in your heart? Things that you have not spoken about to maybe any man in this whole world? Or it can be that you are not able to share it with her that lieth in your bosom. We read of Elkanah he said to his wife, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? And what was her answer? We do not read of an answer. We don't read she said anything to him. Why not? Because there are sometimes things, they lie so deep. There are sometimes things, they are so personal, that we are not able to share them. And there are sometimes things that we so feel are so high that they are outside of the reach of the help of any other man. That they are not able to help us. They are but another creature as we are. And they are things, they are troubles that live within us that we say there is only one that is able to help me with this. What things? That stranger, he is not deterred. He is pressing Cleopas. He does not just let him go. He speaks about things, Cleopas. Now he says, what things, Cleopas? And now we read something that is very, very remarkable. Why? These two men, they suddenly begin to speak. Suddenly they begin to open up. And they begin to speak unto this stranger. But they do not speak to him as if he is only a stranger, no. They speak to him as if they have always known him. Thus they open up to this man everything that is living within their heart. Thus they begin to speak about the things that have come to pass in those days. But they do not remain only with the facts, but they tell also that which is living in their heart. And thus they speak about this Jesus of Nazareth, but they also say what this Jesus of Nazareth was to them. And they speak about the trust that they had in this prophet. He was a prophet mighty and in deed and in word among the people. Then you can hear the estimation that they had of him that was living in their heart. And we trusted in him that it was he that should redeem Israel. And they begin to tell this stranger that all that trust that they had had is a trust which is no more there. They begin to tell him that their trust that has been disappointed. Oh, we say it is a remarkable thing. Why? Because it is so unnatural. Because we do not do this, children, young people. If you would have someone to ask you, then you are not going immediately to say, well, I trusted, but I was wrong. Why not? Because you say, well, he will begin to laugh at me. He will begin to mock me. For that I have put my trust into such a thing. Thus we say, a very remarkable thing. Thus, how did that happen? How did that happen that these two men, they just simply opened their hearts unto this man, to this stranger? Well, it is because the stranger, he is pulling this out of these men. Because this stranger, he is not just a man. No, he is God himself. What do we read that the people even said of this man? They said his word was with power. Now the Lord Jesus says to these men, what things? But he does not only say what things, but he has a secret power. And by that secret power, he is drawing out of these men everything that is living in their hearts. They feel it. It is very strange. Later they speak about it. They say what they felt in this moment, in these moments, when they were walking along with this man. They cannot understand it. But they receive a certain freedom with this man. And now we wish to stop here again. And we would like to ask you this question. Did the Lord, as a hidden God, as one you did not know, did the Lord ever ask you this question? Did the Lord ever say to you, as he said to these men, what things? Did you ever go on your knees with a heart that was so burdened, with a heart that was so perplexed, with burdens that you could tell no man in this world, that you could speak to no one? Did you ever go in such a way upon your knees? Or did you ever come like that Hannah came into that house of the Lord, and now with such a burden before the Lord, in his house or on your knees, and when you came there? Oh, did the Lord ever say to you, what things? Did the Lord ever say to you, tell me now. Tell me now the things that are coming to pass in these days. Oh, did you ever feel it? That secret drawing of the Spirit of the Lord. That the Lord, he said, let me know now. Let me know now what is living in your heart. Tell me now everything that is troubling you. Set before me now all your burdens. Set before me now, let me know all of the riddles that go on in your heart. Did you ever receive an opening at the throne of grace? No. You do not say that you can say you know who the Lord is. That you can say that he is my God. That you can say I know the first thing about true regeneration. And yet, did you ever feel something that these men have felt? That the Lord, when you have tried to come before him, that the Lord, he has asked you, what things? And when you began to say them, or it can be when we go on our knees, that we are so distraught, that we are even that we cannot even begin, that our heart is even somewhat rebellious, peevish, that we begin to pray. And as we begin to say it, then we find an opening that it becomes like a stream. That the Lord, He says, what things? And then it opens. And then we feel something. Children, maybe even when you are young, you begin to feel something of the presence of the Lord. That He is not far away in heaven, but that He is here. That He is so close by. And that the Lord, He says, as you begin to lay it all before Him, that the Lord, He says, go on now. Go on. Continue now. And unburden to me everything that is living in your heart. What did you say then? Because that is now the answer. These men, they give an answer. He says, what things? What did you say then? When you may come before the Lord in such a way. Maybe you said, oh Lord, I have a sick daughter. Maybe you said, oh Lord, I have a son. He comes no more to God's house. But maybe you just said, oh Lord, I am unconverted. I am unconverted. And thy people are a blessed people. And I desire to be one of that people. But I cannot make my heart to love thee. Maybe you just said, oh Lord, I am a sinful man. Lord, my heart that is seeking this world, there is not a spark of love in my heart to thee. Maybe you just said, O Lord, thou sayest in thy word, a man must be born again. O Lord, could I be born again? And may you now be given to feel a little, even when you do not know who He is. May you now be given to feel a little something of the presence, and that the Lord, He also has an ear. What things? Thus we read here of two men in all their perplexity, and the Lord says, what things? And what did they say? These were not just beginners in the way. You think the troubles of God's people, they are just now in the beginning of that way. It is not so. No, the perplexities, the afflictions, the riddles, they are increasing in the life of that true church. What do these men say? You know what they say when they receive that freedom, when the Lord, He is drawing them out? Oh, then they begin to speak about hopes, about hopes that were put to shame. How that it has all come to an end in their life. Then they have spoken of the love of Jesus. Or they have spoken of the faith in Jesus. They have spoken of a hope that they had in their life. They could speak of it. Can you speak of that? Maybe there are those who can speak of that, just like these men could speak of it. Maybe there are those who can say in their life, oh, then I can speak about that time when sin that became such a burden to my heart. Maybe you can speak of that time. And when the Lord, He has brought all your works to nothing, that the Lord, He has made you to feel how impossible from your own side to fulfill that holy law. Maybe you can speak of it. Maybe you can even tell of the love of Jesus. Maybe you can tell of that time that the Lord, He has revealed Himself to your soul. Or that you have seen Him in that Word of God. How precious, how beautiful that He appeared. You can explain it. You can say it to others. You can say what came before. You can tell what happened. You can tell what followed. So these men may do. And then they had to tell how it was all gone. Then they had to tell that everything they had experienced in their life, that everything that they thought was from the Lord, that everything that they thought was the true work in their life, they said, cannot be. It cannot be anymore. All the hope, all their expectation, that is now lying in the grave. That is now the way it goes with that true church of God. The Lord, He is leading them in a way that they knew not, and in paths that they have not known. It is a way of cutting off in the life of that true church. It is not an easy way. We don't want to be cut off. But it is indeed a profitable way. But it can be a long way. It can be so very many years wherein the Lord, He is slowly bringing that people to the end of their life. And then it is so good in the life of that people when the Lord, He is sustaining them in that way, because He is not a land of outer darkness to His people. But then there are times that the Lord, He is coming to them and He is saying to them, what things? Tell me now the things that are burdening your heart. When all the experiences that are in their life, they are now coming unto an end, and they cannot put any ground in them. They fall away as a foundation. They say now, with all that I may have experienced in my life, I still have nothing. And that is a trouble to them. And then the Lord, by times, He gives them a place. Gives them a place to lay it all before Him. And He says to them, what things? And then the people, they may open their heart to Him. And they may say, oh Lord, I do not understand. Oh, I used to love Thee. I used to come up with so much joy to the house of the Lord with that multitude that kept holy day. And now, oh, I do not want to say it. And I may not say that before other people, oh Lord, but my heart that is so hard. Lord, there was a day that I didn't dare to step over a straw. And today, it seems sometimes like I do not even know what sin is anymore. Oh, there was a time that Thy word that was so open. There were days in my life that every time I opened a page that I would eat it with sweetness. And now,
Now that word, O Lord, that is a closed book. There is a time I saw so much preciousness in thee. Thou was so white. Thou was so ready. And now it is all a memory. I do not feel the power. And I have, after all the confession, and I have come even to the table of the Lord, maybe. And now it is all gone. It is all gone. And with all of that, I have nothing. And now it is so good if even for a moment that people, they may hear, they may feel, just for a moment, in the wilderness of that way, that the Lord, He asks them, what things? What things? What is now? Though your life that is so wrong, what are now those things that are lying the deepest? What are now those things that you cannot explain to your closest friend? And when the Lord gives you a little moment that you may come before Him and just lay it all out and say, oh Lord, I am unconverted. Let us sing 415, 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. 2 and 4 of 415.
and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. O fools! The natural man, he is offended at it. But the church of God is not offended at it. Why? Because they agree with it. Because they have to say, oh Lord, I am a fool. Because they have to say, I am so ignorant, and there is nothing they desire more that the Lord would instruct, that the Lord would teach them. Oh fools, and slow of heart to believe. The religious professor is offended at it. Because man today, he is a man of great faith. But it is a wonder to the true church that the Lord, he doesn't say, you are a man without faith altogether. Because that is often the fear, that it has never been true, that it is not true, that it never will be true. But he does not say, unbeliever. But he says, slow of heart to believe. And so that people are crying out with that father of the lunatic, O Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And with the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. The Lord makes that people to feel what they truly are, of little knowledge, of little faith. And then he teaches them. When they may acknowledge it, then he gives to them instruction. What does he teach them? What things? We read beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He teaches them the things concerning himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And to enter into his glory, thus he leads them into the necessity of the suffering and the death of Christ. That it could not increase with him, but that it had to decrease with him. And where is the necessity? Well, he begins with Moses. He begins with the law. He begins with sin. He begins with iniquity. He begins with transgression. Or he begins with that unchangeable justice of God. Justice of God? Is that now not a people to whom Christ has been revealed in their life? Have they not seen him, even if it was but for a moment, by that eye of faith? Is it not then all done with the justice of God? No, it is not done. Because the Lord is leading his people back again. When he is giving them hope in their life, in his only begotten Son, then it is necessary that that people are led back again unto that justice of God. Why? Because the church needs to have a ground. They need to have a foundation under their feet. And that experiences in their life, the revelations
of the Son of God in their life, to make Him precious, to make Him suitable, they are not yet a foundation. They cannot base their eternal hope upon their experience, as sweet as that experience has been in their life. Then the Lord, He is leading His people back again unto justice, that He may show that people the necessity of the fulfilling of that justice. That is what we have spoken about on Good Friday. Then a man is brought to that place where he has to accept that punishment, where he has to say and does say that the Lord is right and that the Lord is good. But the Lord is leading that people further than Moses, and He is expounding unto them in all the Scriptures the things that are concerning Himself. And He leads that people unto that cross, that He may show to them how now that that justice has been satisfied, and that He shows to them how that every sacrifice in that Old Testament time, He speaks of Moses and the prophets, how that everything has been pointing unto Him, unto that cross, unto that sacrifice of that Son of God. Oh, then He speaks of Him of whom they said they had trusted, and they had to perish in that trusting. And yet He says unto them, you were not wrong. You are not wrong. With all the disappointment in your life, with all the way that it is going in your life, but that hope that the Lord has given unto you at that time, that was a true hope. Only you do not understand the way that it had to go in your life, that it had to go into that way of death. Why? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Because it is through that way of death that sacrifice has been paid, that price has been paid, that the entire church now has been delivered, and that justice of God has been satisfied. Oh, that Good Friday, when that price has been paid for that church, and that church has been delivered, is now followed by Easter. And on Easter Day, then the Father, as it were, He gives a receipt unto His church. What is a receipt, boys and girls? A receipt. You ever see your father or mother, they go to the store and they buy something and they get a receipt. Just a little piece of paper. Sometimes they throw it away. Say, you don't need that receipt. Or other times they keep it. Why? When do they keep it? You watch them. When do they keep it? Well, they keep it when that thing that they have purchased is very, very valuable. And the more valuable that it is, the more important to them is that receipt. Why? Because if anyone would now question them, and they would say to them, is that really yours? Then they have something. And they can say, look, here is now the proof. Here is the proof that it is truly mine. How is that resurrection of Christ the receipt that was given unto His church?
Well, the Father, he must raise him from the dead. When that price is paid, if that price was not paid, it was impossible that Christ should rise again. But the resurrection of Christ, that is the testimony, have being risen not only by himself, but being risen by his Father, raised, we read, from the dead, is the testimony of the Father, of his own satisfaction, that that sin and that guilt that has been laid upon his Son for that entire church of God, that is now cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. That is now the proof that is coming from the Father himself. O congregation, what things? What things Christ, he may now explain unto his church? O what things? To raise that people out of the dust, off of the dunghill. What things they were that he may say to them that may answer all the riddles, all the questions that were living in their heart. Oh, what things whereby they may begin to understand the dealings of the Lord with their soul. Why that it had to go in the way that it has gone. And things whereby their hearts may be established. Because Easter, and to know Easter in our heart, is to be established upon that only foundation, that solid rock, and to receive it in the heart from God himself. Oh, what a day. What a day for that church of God was Easter. What a morning it was when that church woke up. Oh, how that day has ended different than it began. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy that cometh in the morning. That is what the Lord Jesus had said to them. He says, ye now have sorrow, but he says, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And, know what it says, boys and girls? Says something so beautiful, and your joy no man taketh from you. No man, that is now what Easter is about. Their joy after Easter, do you understand that? When they may experience that resurrection of Christ, that joy, do you ever read in the life of the disciples that that sorrow came back? Does not come back. No, because he is risen. And that is now in Easter and in the knowledge of Easter, then that guilt of sin that is taken away from that people. And though the pollution of sin remains, and so it did in the life of all the disciples that Paul had to complain about also, and yet there is an establishing of that church on that day of Easter, and a joy that no man shall take away from that people. No, not when they go through this life, and certainly not when they have to go out of this life. O congregation, there it is a perplexing way. It is a perplexing way. If it goes with you,
if it goes with you into the grave, it is going in the right way. It is going in the right way. Or it is not an easy way, because we flee from the grave. We flee from death. But the Lord work through. Oh, the Lord work through. The Lord give you by moments in upholding, that he may ask you by times that question, what things? That you may be able to lay it all before him. But remember, that the resurrection of Christ was a surprise to the disciples. A complete surprise. Why? Well, you say they did not expect it. That is right. They did not expect it. With everything they had been told by Christ, they did not expect it. Otherwise, it would not have been a surprise. That is now how it goes. Remember that, young people. That is now how it goes. It goes into death. And the true expectation of that people, we can tell you, try to say how it goes in the life of that people. Say they know it in their mind. But if they will experience it in their heart, the expectation is that they will perish forever. And when the Lord is coming in that day of Easter, well, then it is a great, great surprise for that people. Oh, the Lord give to us all together that we may know of these things. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give to us that life in our souls, that we may know these things, and that these things may be the care of our hearts, the care of our souls, that these things may not be what we overlook in our life, that these may not be the things that we cast away, for these are the treasures which this world cannot give unto us. Oh, we beseech thee, wilt thou bind these things upon the hearts of young and old, and wilt thou give that instruction unto each one of us, as thou hast instructed all thy disciples. Do dismiss us with thy indispensable blessing. Forgive thou all our sins, that these feast days may be given yet to be feasted upon in the chewing of the cud. And wilt thou be with us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world. And we also, when we hope to travel, when we are separated from one another, and wilt thou bring us safely together again at thy appointed time. And wilt thou give us a little rest, that we may take up our labors once more in due time. And wilt thou be with all those that do travel in this week, coming and going, watch over in the home and by the way. And wilt thou keep from danger, accident, evil, and sin also the children. And wilt thou supply for us in the temporal and in the spiritual needs, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 319:1-4. Give thanks and praise to God above. For everlasting is his love. Praise him, ye saints, your Savior praise. Forever good in all his ways.
1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 319.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.